Well, it's time for another local hero spotlight with a new CISA person, Clarissa Adan from CISA, the local hero, folks, community involved in sustaining agriculture. Clarissa, what do you do with CISA?
With CISA, I am the food access program coordinator. I work with farmers markets to help them get any kind of support that they need from us, and then I also run our senior farm share program during the summer.
We're going to talk a little bit about access to food and how that all works and CISA's part in that with HIP, Healthy Incentives Program, and the state of Massachusetts' program to get better access to healthy fresh food for folks.
Which just hit a milestone, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, 100 million through the life of the program given out in HIP incentives. So that is free fruits and vegetables to low-income people who are on SNAP, $100 million worth of it.
And we're at a farm that has a strong history of making sure people in the community have enough to eat. We're at Just Roots. Are we officially in Greenfield or are we in Leiden?
We're in Greenfield, yeah. Just
Leiden Road. We're so close to Leiden.
Hi, I'm Meryl Latronica. I'm one of the co-executive directors here at Just Roots.
And I'm Taylor Lopatovsky. I am the Farmers Market Manager at Greenfield Farmers Market.
Full disclosure, I am a member of Just Roots. It is my farm share. It gets delivered to my house every week. So put that out there, right there. And I go to the Greenfield Farmers Market very regularly.
To your house every week.
I know. It's pretty great.
Pretty sweet. Yeah, we have free delivery all throughout Franklin County this year.
That was the tipping point for us. We're like, we get so busy, sometimes it's hard to go pick up the farm share. And when Just Roots was doing it, it was like no-brainer. So, Meryl, tell us about the history of Just Roots. And this farm, as I had mentioned, it has a strong history of making sure people have access to food.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the history of Just Roots ever since the very beginning, low-income share access and just getting anybody vegetables that could be here was part of our founding kind of mission. And our very first CSA, which I think was in 2011, had about 35 members. 13 of those were subsidized for low-income members to access food, and we've just grown from there. And now we have over 98 families participating who are paying with SNAP and HIP, making it accessible for all people in our community to access the CSA program and local healthy food.
And even before that, this was called
the poorer farm where low-income and, like, working-class people could, like, grow food for themselves.
Literally called the poor farm.
Yeah, literally these farms were called poor farms or town farms, and this is one of the only intact poor farms that still exists in the country. So we have this barn was part of the original poor farm, and the building next to it, which is now a 12-unit residency, was the dormitories for men and women. But this was before Social Security came in, so any of our citizens who needed care, whether they were dealing with mental illness or they were dealing with poverty, they would come to the farm here, live here, and if they were able-bodied, they'd work on the farm. They really served as a place for people to come who needed support, and I think Just Roots still does that today. And I think carrying on the poor farm, town farm mission is really part of who we are. This property is owned by the city of Greenfield. We actually lease 61 acres from the city here. And fun fact, the owner of the farm before the city of Greenfield and before the poor farm was Justin Root. So that's how we got our name.
Just Roots. Oh, it is a clever name, and it's not Justin. Clever name. Taylor, talk about your relationship with both Just Roots and making sure people have access to food as part of the Greenfield Farmers Market, which is right in front of City Hall on Saturdays.
Just Roots is a very important part of the Greenfield Farmers Market. They're our biggest local farm that attends, and folks line up for Just Roots. Big fans of Just Roots. Just Roots does a lot of programs also on the side, educational things that everyone in the community benefits from. And CISA is awesome. I love Clarissa. Anything from, hey, can we get some more bumper stickers of Be a Local Hero or helping educate me and others about HIP so that I can better educate the people who shop at the market. It's amazing there are still folks learning that they do have HIP benefits. I'll tell them, it's fresh fruits, it's fresh veggies. Go get some raspberries, blackberries, blueberries. And it's exciting. It's an amazing program that Massachusetts does, and it's a very big part of the market.
We've explained it a bazillion times on the air, but very briefly, SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, is the federal program. You've got your SNAP debit card or something along those lines. HIP, the state-run program, Healthy Incentives Program, when you spend it on fresh fruits and veggies, you are instantly reimbursed with your SNAP dollars through state money.
That is it, and it is household size based, so you could get anywhere from $40 to $80 a month that you can use at an authorized vendor, so a farm stand that is authorized, a farmer's market that is authorized, where you can it's an instant rebate. That money is right back on your account. You never see it go away.
And it's really good for farms, too, because farming is not well apportioned monetarily. Mm-hmm. So, like, having this state program that immediately puts money back into the hands of farmers is really important. And then, to like, planning and growing seasons, too.
And so when budget cuts happen to hit in the middle of the year, as has happened in years past, it's very detrimental to the farmers who have been planning on getting that money from HIP and have been growing to that end, and then all of a sudden the rug gets pulled out from them from the state government. Yeah. That's why there's movement afoot to try to make sure that HIP stays funded to a certain specific level year after year.
We are so thrilled right now because our state just solidified that we had $21.5 million fully funded for HIP, plus carrying over another $9.5 million from fiscal year 26. So we are thrilled to have over $30 million funded for HIP in Massachusetts this coming year. And that was, you know, looking back at our numbers, our income for 2025, when we saw that 9-month gap in HIP funding, our income at the farmers markets went way down. We have already this year had more income from just SNAP transactions than we saw in all of that fiscal year time last year when SNAP was cut. So it really impacts. We've seen 35 transactions per market at SNAP, up to 45 already, just an increase pretty significantly for us. And we really count on that. We're really in a partnership with our community. And when people don't have the money to support our farms suffer, our vendors suffer, everybody struggles. So it's a really big deal for us.
Let's go see where my farm share gets grown.
Yeah.
We're walking around Just Roots in Greenfield, where I full disclosed that it is my farm share that gets delivered to my house every week. We got some good kale last time in the box. We got some great corn.
Now, incredible. Are you a new member here?
Yes.
So how's it feeling?
It's been great because it shows up at your house. And, like, I've had so many great farm shares over the years, but a lot of times it's like, oh, which one of us is going to go? You know, I love Natural Roots.
Yes,
I love being at Natural Roots, but, like, it's a journey to go there.
Yes.
And I love supporting them and kind of sharing the love with between different farm shares. But this year it was like, hey, Just Roots is going to bring it right to our house.
I love that you've tried all sorts of different ones. We all have something a little special. We're all kind of the same and kind of different, and it's really fun to find the one that works for you, and that may change over the course of your life.
Yeah, we have an open relationship with the farms.
Yeah, exactly. Really smart. So do I.
We're polycurious with CSA.
Exactly.
We have 450 members this year who come, most of whom come to the farm, and I'm just like, are you serious? You're amazing. Like, that's a lot of work. But yeah, you're looking at our farm here, guys. Right here is our community garden part of our farm, so we have 65 garden plots. And our garden here is part of some of our superhero origin story of Just Roots. When we began in 2009, it was because a bunch of community gardeners down at the Pleasant Street Gardens wanted more gardening space. And they went to the mayor at the time looking for more downtown space to grow vegetables on and flowers. And the mayor at that time said, hey, we have a 60-acre parcel 4 miles north of town. Do you guys want to check that out? And from that prompted a whole RFP process in the city, and folks gathered together, gardeners, citizens who were interested in having a community farm, and they were able to essentially win the RFP. They had support from the Franklin County CDC. They had support from Mount Grace Land Trust at the time, who helped us put 31 of the 60 acres in an APR. And Just Roots really was born out of a real grassroots greenfield way of being, and sort of came to be this farm that we now know as Just Roots. And although we've evolved and we have a much larger CSA, we still have our workshops, we still have support for our gardeners, we train farmers. We focus on dealing with the climate extremes that were probably, if we really took a deep walk, we'd see some flooding today. But it's really been a really grassroots effort to sort of start Just Roots, and we've really maintained that throughout our time here.
Can you talk about some of those educational components? Because, like, not every farm is teaching other farmers how to farm, or, like, people how to grow things better.
We don't have a formal apprenticeship anymore. We really wanted to pay people a living wage and sort of say, this is farm labor work. We're going to pay you. We're going to give you sick time and time off. We've really kind of focused on how can we provide some benefits even to seasonal workers. But as a part of that, a kind of assistant growership, which we call it now, people are getting training on tractors, they're leading distributions, they're learning about seeding in the greenhouse, they're just really learning about, like, what does it take to run a community farm. We're holding this property, we're stewarding it for the city, so there's a lot of, like, you might learn chainsaw work today, and you might learn supporting a gardener, and you might learn about, like, oh, I love running the farmers market and being downtown on Saturdays. So everyone sort of has a little different taste of what it means to be in a large larger food system network. And we try to provide opportunity to grow. Like, do you want to stay here and develop out, or do you want to be launched into another part of our food system? And we just try to leave those pathways open for people. I've been here for about 10 years. We've since added 3 more hoop houses, a new greenhouse that we walk by. We also lease an additional 5 acres of land up and down the street from neighbors, and that was really in response to a lot of the climate extremes. 2023 really kicked our butts, guys. Imagine a lake just right in front of you, going through the entire garden, through the hoop houses, all the way down to the backfield. So we really had to sort of think about how do we steward this land appropriately, and thinking about, you never know what's going to happen. Is it a drought? Is it a flood? What's going on? So we've really rearranged our growing since then.
So when I get my farm share,
yeah,
is it coming from these community gardens?
It's not coming
from
there.
Or where is that coming?
Yeah, so this little part is the community garden, and the rest of the land you're looking at, kind of from here down to the woods, is Just Roots land. So we grow about 7 acres here on the main farm, and then we have about 5 acres from neighbors. So we're growing about 12 acres of land right now for our CSA, for our farmers market, and for some donation partners. We work closely with Stone Soup Cafe and the Center for Self-Reliance Food Pantry. Those are our 2 emergency food pantries we work with. So we kind of do food security at all levels. If we peek in this greenhouse, you're going to see all your garlic that's curing.
Nice.
That was grown in our field across the creek. You're going to see cucumbers growing in there. You're going to see your tomatoes in some of our hoop houses. And you're also looking at our pick your own shed, which is where our members can come and participate in the harvest as well.
You're farming 7 acres, but you're stewarding 61. What's happening on the other 54 acres?
Yeah, so a lot of it is, of course, infrastructure and wetlands and woodlands. We have the garden here, of course. We also sublease to other farmers and local businesses. So we helped incubate the compost cooperative when they were first starting. They just had a tent here and washed their disgusting bins here. And so we were like, I don't think we have enough water for this.
Yeah. Maybe donate a little compost.
Exactly. Yeah, they would. And they still donate compost. So they come every week to our compost pile down the road, and they dump off stuff from like other local organizations, which is really sweet. We lease 4 acres to Sage Farm, who's a local pig farmer in town, actually in Bernardston. We rent space to the Greenfield Tree Committee. They come here and they grow out native shade trees, and once they're ready to go, they plant them downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a small, about quarter acre plot in our field across the creek to Blue Crow Botanicals, who's a local medicinal herb farmer. And she was here even before I came. I showed up, I'm like, whose garden is this? And they're like, this is Blue Crow Botanicals. So we really try to use our land as a resource to other small organizations or local organizations, and try to incubate or support those businesses as well.
How unique is what Just Roots is doing amongst the other farms that you handle at CISA?
It's pretty amazing, because they're not only making sure that, say, the community has garden space if they want to do it themselves, they're also always at the farmers market, and they always are there making sure, you know, people are asking them questions about stuff, they know the answers. And then also, when we were having trouble with keeping the farmers market going in downtown, because the people who had been running it for years wanted to be done, they were ready to step back and retire, Just Roots stepped in. It's such a bedrock for the community. It really is.
One thing that actually kept us going too is that we really started buying in from other local farms. So part of like all those climate disasters where we lost tons of crops, the reason we were able to keep our CSA going is because we've invested millions of dollars in other local farms. We support Warner Farm and Bardwell and Kitchen Garden and small farms like Foxtrot Farm and Fernhill Farm up in Buckland. So we are a place also that the way we can expand our CSA, going from 35 members in 2011 to 450 now, isn't because we're growing everything. We kind of know we can't, but we buy in. Like, we're getting sweet corn every week right now from Warner, and they're amazing.
I had the Warner corn yesterday.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's like, we can't grow corn. A, the animals eat it all. B, we just don't have the space. Just speaking to like the $100 million in HIP that we were able to spend in Massachusetts from 2017, that gave us the economic drive of almost $200 million. And it's the same with what we do here, where last year we put in a quarter million $1 million back into local farms. Reed Farm, chickens, oh my God, they're amazing. Flag Farm, all these places that are local to us. So we're able to drive local economies just through our food purchasing, just for our CSA. So it's a really, like, we're all supporting each other right now. And I think that's where, you know, kind of around COVID is when we really said, let's do this more in partnership with other farms. And it's really helped to sort of support us all back to that, like, grassroots Franklin County coming together, supporting each other.
You're running the Greenfield Farmers Market now. I mentioned the history of Just Roots and its importance in feeding the community, historically the poor farm and all that. The Greenfield Farmers Market was founded by one of my idols, Juanita Nelson, who had a mission of making sure people had enough to eat. Clarissa said that the folks who were running it have retired. And tell us about the new generation of people that are keeping Juanita Nelson's legacy, which includes the Harvest Supper, which will happen again with Stone Soup Cafe very shortly in August in the same location as the Farmers Market. Who's running the Farmers Market besides you now?
So we are totally farmers run. We are accountable to the farmers who attend our market. I'm currently the Farmers Market Manager, and I report to Merrill, the owner, and the steering committee, which is made up of Dave's Natural Garden, who've been there, Sunrise Maple Farms, also a longtime vendor for decades. They are a multi-generational family farm. It's just important that we take care of one another. This is one of the oldest farmers markets in the state of Massachusetts. We just celebrated 51 years, 51 seasons of a farmers market that was started by the farmers in the community. Many farms who are still coming there, like Clarkdale Fruit Farms. They are a big deal.
Good day, Clark.
Yeah. Yep. And you guys, Taylor's amazing. She also was a vendor at the market selling her amazing cookies. Oh, my God. I can never say it right. Macarons.
Macarons.
But they're so delicious. My kiddo's obsessed. But, you know, Taylor's really brought this year as the new market manager just a lot of energy to say, like, come on, everybody, come back out. We really, like, it really, the markets all took a hit during kind of the pandemic and really slowly have been kind of getting that foot traffic back. And Taylor has been amazing. It's really fun to be there right now.
Yeah. What do you guys want to see here? You want to poke in through the garlic?
High tunnels, the greenhouses, the big fans running. Look at all that garlic.
That was amazing.
You just stand here and you're like, yeah.
This is the safest place from vampires in all of Franklin County.
It's a nice garlic harvest. This was our one and only heated greenhouse until 2021 when we got a nice grant from MDAR to put in a bigger greenhouse. And now we can actually support all of our production and do our seedling sales.
How much has the farm grown in your 10 years of being here?
It's definitely grown, like, in terms of, like, membership, right? Like I mentioned, I think when I started, it was 2017, and we had about a little over 100 CSA members. And we were operating, like, we set up downtown in the little alleyway next to the food co-op. That was one of our pickups, and we only did one pickup here at the farm. So we've always sort of taken our show on the road. We still do on Thursdays. We're downtown on Main Street across from the Community Health Center. So we do have two pickups here and one down there. But so we had a small CSA. We were just getting back into doing the farmers market, and we hadn't yet launched our Food is Medicine work. That's a huge program of ours that launched in 2020, where we actually work with accountable care organizations to provide free vegetables, protein, and cookware kits to people all across the state. And that's a program through MassHealth and through the 1115 waiver here. So that was a huge turning point for our organization. And we work with 7 other organizations across the Commonwealth, World Farmers, Food for Free in Cambridge, Nourishing the North Shore, Berkshire Bounty, all sorts of different places where we sort of operate the back-end hub to connect food insecure patients who also have a diet-related illness to free CSA boxes and protein shares and cookware kits and cooking support and recipes and literal casework, bilingual casework out of our operation. So 2020 was a real turning point and growth year for Just Roots. So now we sort of have our local farm where we're at, our local CSA, which has really gotten big, the farmers market where we've become more of a core member, and then the Food is Medicine work, which is really state and nationally. We've become a secret leader there, or maybe not so secret, but yeah, we've really kind of been plugged into the Food is Medicine Massachusetts work. And we sit on the DT EPA, Greenfield Advisory Committee, and Make Hunger History Massachusetts, and the working groups for the Hunger Task Force that the governor started. So we're really, we kind of consider ourselves this like big little farm where we're here we are in North Greenfield doing our thing, but we're also at the table with a lot of these conversations. And the main thing we're bringing kind of beyond food security is like support local farms. Let's do food security work, but let's do it with local farms. Let's build local food economy, and that's really the messaging. So yeah, it's gotten really big. Yeah, and I came on as the farm manager, so my role's also shifted into just more of that nonprofit administration and sort of supporting other young farmers to run community farms, and they're complicated and they're beautiful, and like how do we keep doing what we're doing here? Yeah. Here's our cucumber tunnel, which is starting to fade out, but oh my gosh, they're kind of wild and amazing.
They're all trellis. It's pretty cool.
They're all trellis. The one thing I don't miss about farming is harvesting cucumbers, guys. I just, like, it breaks your back, it breaks your body, it breaks your soul a little bit. And it's so hard for such a short time, and you know you're going to get through it, but, man, it's hard. This beautiful weed palace here that we're looking at, this is going to be, this is usually our basil tunnel, but the fans broke. So it was so hot, we were like, we can't put basil in here. So this will be winter greens once we fix our fans.
It looks like the hay fever high tunnel.
Don't go in there if you want to, yeah. If you want to stop breathing for a second. Then we've got a bunch of peppers in this tunnel. We started, once we expanded our high tunnel operation, we were able to move some things like peppers in inside, which just like it hotter. And
smell them right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, they're just like, the they're so much more productive in here, and we don't have to grow as many in the field when we can grow them in here because the plants are literally dripping with peppers, and it's just been a really nice addition. Our farm manager, Fran Kleinsteiber, comes from Riverland Farm.
Which was my original CSA.
Oh my God, full circle. So they brought a lot of just different wholesale sensibilities and methods that I didn't come with because I never worked on a wholesale farm. So there's a lot of fun, like, oh, let's bring this into the tunnel, or let's use more bulk bins, Merrill. Like, fine. You mean you don't want to lift everything one at a time by hand?
Yeah.
They've really taken us to a more efficient level. This was overwintered onions in here. Our program operates year-round, so we do weekly in the summer months, which is June to October, and then we do monthly from November to May. And so we had overwintered onions in there, and that'll be kale for the winter months. And we have a lot of apple trees around. We're really focused on native pollinator habitat. We have a whole native pollinator garden and meadow, and we do different apple trees, and we have beech plums and red-stem dogwoods, and we try to have habitat, whether shrubby or herbaceous, in each of our fields to really encourage pollination. And we really look at our farm as a whole ecosystem, so beyond just growing our annual vegetables, how are we sort of like really getting more life and habitat to the farm? And it engages all sorts of different people in our community who are way more interested in native pollinator habitat than tomatoes in a high tunnel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just different ways to engage people. We do workshops on, you know, we're having a fermented soda workshop coming up this month, and some of our local farms like Milk and Honey Herbs, Jade Alessandro, mm-hmm. she runs classes out of here where they kind of wander the fence line foraging medicine that I have no idea what it is. I'm like, wow, I was going to mow that. They're like, no, don't mow it. I'm like, okay, fine. Everybody,
like, or at least not yet.
Yes, everybody brings a little something extra to this piece of land that really like teaches us how to steward it better, which is really fun.
So I'm noticing with your tomatoes, you've got basil co-planted.
Yeah.
Just like a growing Caprese salad.
Exactly.
Grow some mozzarella
in
there somehow.
We just need some mozz.
And I think, well, it definitely looks lemon balm-ish, but probably not. But also in between your high tunnels,
yes.
You have zinnias and like echinacea. Were they part of that, or was that always a thing that has happened here to have like pollinating plants or like plants that will bring more pollinators situated in between some of the places that don't necessarily have high bee traffic or like pollinator traffic?
Yeah, it's been that way for probably the last like 6 years once we kind of got settled into like, okay, this is our farm is growing. Once we connected with Greening Greenfield about just these like pollinator corridors that could be, and then we had some bees that were really close to our CSA distribution, and they started to really get annoyed at the increased traffic of people. So we're like, we have to move these beehives. And once we did, we're like, let's not put them back. Let's really focus on creating more native pollinator habitat. And so we have like little pockets all across the farm to really increase the pollination just without the honeybees. And it's been really fun, and like no diss on honeybees, we love them too. But we're like, what if we just really pushed the native pollinator habitat? And there's people in our community that are so, have done all the research, have the list of seeds. So we've been working with like, all right, let's do that seed list, or let's buy a starter kit from Wingin' a Prayer up in Cummington and plant out a little garden from them. And that's, you know, so everybody's doing this work. And so we didn't have to invent it, but we did take some time, money, grants, support to like really invest in it. And we're really thinking about working with a new landscape company, Abound Design out of Amherst, to think about the front of our barn too, to really tie that into like, let's do new plantings up there too. So the whole property is kind of like a fun canvas for us to explore. And it's fun not having to do the annual production myself, where I get to think about those gardens now.
Yeah.
Be like, Fran, I'm going to go work on the pollinator garden. And they're like, okay.
You get to do big
picture
thinking.
I'm like, can I have some crew? And they're like, no, not at all. We have to go harvest cucumbers.
Yeah. So don't miss that.
It's pretty fun. And the people working at who volunteer at Greening Greenfield, they're amazing. They're so smart. They've taught me so much about just different habitat, different local and native plants that I just never knew was going to be kind of on my own path. And Fran also tried to do like these cool like herb corridors in between the high tunnels. It got away from us. I think we're not the only farm in town who's wicked weedy this year. I think the heat waves, this really didn't do, but you know what? That's what we do here. We put ground cloth down, we planted alyssum, and this literally has like sage and thyme under it. It's a no-go this year. That's fine.
Your thyme's doing fine.
Yeah, the alyssum is really popping.
It'll be there forever.
You know what?
Thyme refuses to die.
It's so, so great. And farming is an exercise in like failing over and over again and just getting up and going, good thing we get to do this again next year.
Yeah.
Hard. When I meet perfectionist farmers, I feel really bad for them. I'm not, thank God. It's too hard to get everything perfect. It's really not possible, I think. Although, I don't know. I've seen some beautiful farms out here. But we tolerate some weeds, I guess we'll say.
When did you guys start doing delivery, and how important was that like the where your CSA is now?
That's a great question. Delivery actually started in 2020
our
Food as Medicine program. We were never intending to do doorstep delivery. With our Food as Medicine, we were going to work with Boston Children's Hospital clinics in Northampton, Holyoke, and Springfield. And we were going to go show up at the clinics with our share, like with our whole show on the road, like we do downtown Greenfield. And then March 2020, and we said, okay, that's not going to work. And we had this huge box truck and this little minivan, and we're like, well, we're going to do doorstep delivery. And then it was like, that was the thing that people loved the most. They were like, this is how I can do this. I'm not going to be able to get to the clinic. I'm not going to be able to get to a pickup. So we just said, okay, we rearranged how we did that program, and we never looked back. So we've done doorstep delivery with our Food as Medicine, which was anywhere at that time from Southwick to Bernardston. It was all up and down the 91 corridor. And now we just, a few years ago, we said, well, we're already delivering. We're like, why don't we just add local folks? At first, it was just Greenfield. Like, okay, if you're in Greenfield, we can deliver to you. But now, this year, we really made the choice to intentionally just choose all of Franklin County and see how that went. And it's a small list, but it's a list of folks that, like, yeah, really cannot get to the farm for one reason or another, and we can get there. So we've added that program. And right now, we're doing it at no cost, and we'll see if we can keep doing that.
What are you seeing with, like, leafy greens this year? Like, are you seeing more people buying lettuce from you or less people?
Because they don't want explosive diarrhea.
Yeah,
I mean, I wasn't going to say that.
I am. I'll say it every time I get a chance.
Love it. Who doesn't love it?
Yeah, I was saying it before. It's cool. I'll just let everybody know. I was like, look at how much everybody is saying explosive diarrhea right now. I always called it explosive diarrhea. It's the only kind of diarrhea, in my opinion.
Wow!
Diarrhea is like a storm raging outside your window.
Okay. We try not to say explosive diarrhea at the farm stand, but we say it out in the field.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no,
so anyway, are people, that main people buying more greens from you?
Oh my God, so anyway. I mean, I do think there is a reminder of just like how it is so great to know your farmer and so great to shop local and to know, like, we can say, like, these are our practices. This is how we harvest. This is how we wash. You can trust our practices. And we're eating this too, and we don't have explosive diarrhea. I think it's always great to just like remind ourselves that, like, very large national food chains, like there are risks sometimes, and we can decrease that risk by really investing in local farms. We can know our farmers, we can feel that safety, and it's an incredible gift. And I think we have seen some people shopping at the market and being like, how's your lettuce? You know, and we're like, it's good, we got you. Like,
I'll
here
eat
you
it right in front of
I
you.
I will eat you right, yeah, exactly. And like even our raspberries too, just people feeling like they can come pick their own raspberries. So I think there is a really wonderful level of just like, like a deep breath, I can trust this product, I can trust this farmer, and that's a really, really great place to be.
Local food tastes so much better.
Truth.
Know your farmer.
Meet them all at the Greenfield Farmers Market.
I say this, I sound like a broken record, but the longer it takes for your food to get to a market, flavor has a half-life. Every mile decreases how intense it tastes or like how pure it tastes like from the field. So like getting your stuff locally means you're getting something that really tastes like it's supposed to taste.
And so many less hands are touching it. I mean, I think that's just this... just a fact. And yep. So just thinking about that as you're thinking about food safety is a really nice thing to think about.
And also still wash your vegetables.
Yes. And also,
never hurt.
Yes, still wash your vegetables. That is so real.
Well, thank you so much for coming on this tour with us. Taylor and Clarissa and Meryl for giving us this tour of Just Roots. It makes me feel proud to have a farm share.
Yay! I'm so glad you remember. This is so awesome. I'm going to have to remember this for, you know, if I need a quote.
Feel free.
Yes. Famous town person Monty Belmonte is a CSA share member and loves it.
I mean, like, Amber Cinema's already got him up on a screen.
I know.
Take a picture and throw it up somewhere.
Yes.
It's true.